The Undying Chat.
Welcome back to The Undying Chat. I am your host, Odin, and this is my co-host, Vader.
And that is me. How are you doing today, dude?
Yeah, pretty good. I had to go back to school.
Oh, school. The worst thing.
It's
not the worst.
It's
You'll
terrible.
Survive.
I don't know, it. Will I?
I don't know, maybe not. It's like the Hunger Games out there.
Yeah.
Wait, do you know what I'm talking about when I say Hunger Games?
To an extent. I don't actually know the Hunger Games, but I kind of know from context and like kind of hearing about it. Wasn't it just like battle to the death or something?
Yeah.
Like,
so they would, it's set in like a sort of a post-apocalyptic world where there's like a lot of control and there's different sectors and they're like, they're forced to do, like, each sector has their own role. Like, one's fishing, one's, like, farming wheat, one, and they all have their own thing. And
Bread.
To keep everyone in line, the tyrannical government upper class who live in this fancy city, who run the military, they take a tribute from each, two tributes from each of the territory sectors. And they have to fight to the death for the glory of their sector. And their sector's, like, given rewards and stuff for that year. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a similar story to a Japanese film called Battle Royale, which is about unruly students in schools start being disobedient. To the point where it's actually bad. Like, the students in the story, the students, like, have rebelled enough that they've, like, rioted and, like, killed a couple of teachers and stuff. And to try and instill fear back
they
into...
They put them on a bus with a balloon on it and sent them onto an island to fight it out.
Yeah, it's Battle Royale. It's Fortnite.
Fortnite.
That was, exactly, they put them on an island, so they would randomly select the class around Japan every year. They'd have to go fight to the death, and the winner gets to go home. It's pretty intense. This is probably not just suitable for you to watch. Oh, Hunger Games is. That's mildly not as violent.
Kid-friendly. Everyone die.
Yeah, it's true. But it's not as hardcore as Battle Royale, the Japanese one. Yeah, anyway, off topic.
Yes.
So school's going okay? Day one back?
Yeah, I'm dead. I'm a ghost.
You're dead?
They killed me. With the weird knowledge. According to them, everything's a machine. Pen's a machine, according to them.
We all just cogs in a machine, so maybe they're right.
Yeah.
We all just go about our day, ants in an ant colony.
Yeah.
Lifting grains of sugar where we stand. That's what ants do, don't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, food. We're here to talk about video games, not life and stuff. I don't know what else.
Stuff.
Yeah, we're here to talk about video games, board games, and all things fun. So let's get on to that.
Yeah.
Anything exciting happening in your world in the gaming realm?
Well, we've had lots of new games because we just got the PlayStation ripoff of Xbox Game Pass.
Don't even be like that. So we upgraded to the Game Catalog, Game Extra? PlayStation Extra?
Yeah, something like that. There's like three Plus different Extra. Versions of PlayStation Plus now.
Yeah. Because it just worked out better that we upgraded for at least a short time. It's been pretty good seeing all the stuff, and we've had a few goes of a few games.
There's one game that I played a demo, and it was a really good game. I actually played it on the Nintendo, but I still quite enjoy it on here. It's called Bad North.
Oh, it's a nice little strategy game.
Yeah, so it's like you move from island to island, trying to outrun like a storm, and you're just like knights, and you're defending against the island against
Vikings,
like,
man.
Vikings. Well, I don't think you're Vikings. I think the enemies of Vikings. You got like
Vikings raided their own people, like their own people.
Yeah, but I think you like your characters, they kinda look like
they don't look as Vikingish.
Yeah.
No, maybe not.
They've
I was thinking that you're based in the north, but they're not from the north, which is where the Vikings come from.
Yeah, I think we're kinda heading up north or something.
Yeah, so what, are you moving? You go from
yeah,
one
you,
island,
you move.
Eh?
Yeah, you move across from different islands.
Yeah. I guess, it's just a game. It's not meant to be set in any kind of reality. It's,
well, yeah.
It's more of a puzzle game, and so it makes no sense that people would live on these tiny islands anyway. They're the size of, like, a shoebox.
Pretty much. They've got like a few houses, and some of them are tight that they would look like they'd only fit like three people crammed inside of them.
Yeah.
And then you can send your whole team in there to like heal up. Which doesn't make sense. And then there are huge houses.
It's a puzzle game, and it's just the graphics are there. They're cool. There's a nice style to them, but it's like a simple style graphics. Bad North. But yeah, so game catalog, it's good. I guess I'm reluctant to pay the extra cost normally, because of most of the games on there are games I've either played or don't necessarily. I wouldn't pay to play. Like, I wouldn't buy them myself.
Yeah.
But it has been fun seeing what we can just have a quick mess around with without really feeling like we're wasting money.
Yeah.
The reason why we got it, should we explain, was a game I'll talk about later, is the game Stray came out.
Yes.
And that went straight onto the game catalogue. And so I went to go look at buying it, and it was going to cost $54. Or I could upgrade to the game catalogue for the rest of our PlayStation Plus year for $32. The game is maybe a 4-hour game, 5-hour game. So I'm definitely going to finish it before the year's out. So I figured, I think we've got 6 months left on the year. So we figured it was worth just upgrading, even if we downgrade. But then again, there's been a lot of cool little games that we've seen.
Yeah.
And just having that something like a palate cleanser, a catalogue of games, when you're like, I don't want to play a big, heavy story game. I just want to play something silly and fun.
Oh, yeah. I found some really great games. I think one of my favourite ones that I've played the most of recently is Slime Rancher.
Yes, I've
already
that.
Put in a couple of hours.
I don't know why I've seen that, but I've seen that somewhere and I've learnt about it a while ago, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's a really fun game. From the name, you ranch slimes.
What does ranching mean?
I don't know. You farm slimes, basically. You kidnap them in like...
You wrangle slimes. You're a cow. Well, you're not a cowboy. You're a slime boy.
Yeah.
You don't herd...
Actually, you're a slime girl. The character's a girl.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You don't actually get to choose, but yeah. Slime girl.
So it's like slightly sci-fi, isn't it? Because you've got kind of funny guns that kind
of... Yeah, you've got... I don't know. It's a slurp gun. I don't know, like a slurp.
Oh,
it
you
slurps
like
things
absorb
up.
Absorb the slimes into your backpack.
Yeah, you go... It's like, it uses like wind and suction and it like pulls
a
them
vacuum.
In. Yeah, it vacuums them up. I didn't say vacuum.
It's like the backpack from...
Ghostbusters! Kind of.
Well, no, the backpack doesn't suck in the... It just traps them between the plasma rays, whatever it is. I'm more thinking Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
With his vacuum pack.
Except this one doesn't actually look like a vacuum cleaner. And I don't think it goes onto your back. I think it's just a little portable gun.
Yeah. And then you put them in little pens and keep them. What I couldn't work out from what you've said so far and what I've seen... Each time you log in, you're continuing the same world?
Yeah, it's not a roguelike.
Is there a point? Like, is it you trying to get more? Like, is there a story? Is there an adventure attached to this? Because it feels like there should be.
Kind of. You get sent...
It's a yes
like,
or a no question, Odin. Now, go on.
You get sent letters that tell you a bit of story. To an extent.
So it's a little bit and like then, Stardew Valley in that regard. There is a story in Stardew Valley, but it is very overarching and kind of vague.
Yes. But there's also, there are different areas that you explore. So you'll find, the first area you find like tabby slimes, like cat slimes.
Oh, cute.
Pink slimes, which are just the basic ones.
So you to go to the other areas, you have to like level up, air quotes.
Well,
Or catch a certain amount of slimes before you access thing. Like, what's the progression like as well?
So there are like these stone doors that have a key in them. And at first you're like, how do I get in this? Until you find a ginormous slime. It's just a giant slime that doesn't actually move.
Okay, so it's through exploration you end up finding it.
And if you feed it a bunch, I think you can find the different types of slimes. I found like a tabby one. But they only give you just rewards, where I think the pink slimes give you a key. So you'll find pink slimes...
A giant pink slime.
Yeah, giant pink slimes, and you feed them, and they burst and give you a key.
Okay, so it's an exploration game.
Yeah, and then you can unlock the keys and get more.
Is there any benefit to ranching these slimes and having these fenced-off slimes? Like, do they give you...
So...
Are you getting resources or money from them?
Yes. So when you feed the slime, so there'll be like fruit, veggies.
Hold on. These aren't the wildfire slimes you're feeding, the ones you catch.
Yes, the ones that you catch, although you can actually feed the wild slimes and they'll feed themselves because there's this fruit and veggies. There's also chickens and they're out in the wild and the slimes will just eat them.
Nice.
But
everybody
can,
likes chicken.
But yeah, you can actually grow the fruits and the veggies and stuff, like carrots and...
Oh, so there's a little bit of a farming simulator in there.
Not really, because you don't actually have to water it. You kind of just plant it and then it grows and you collect the fruit.
That's even better. There's less menial tasks to do.
Yeah, and you don't even need to replant it or anything. It just keeps growing and you just collect it and then chuck it at the slimes.
But you choose to plant certain types of plants.
Yes, because some of them will have like a favourite food, which I only discovered recently. You can, it's like a slimepedia or something.
Slimepedia.
Let's say it's like something like that. And you can go see and it says its favourite food. And they also, some of them have specific diets. The pink slimes will eat anything.
Greedy guts. Can we name them the Odin slimes?
Yes. The tabby slimes only eat meat, so chickens. There's like rock slimes.
They only eat rocks?
Nah, they eat veggies.
Oh, they're healthy slimes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. So there's a little bit more dynamic to it. It's not just a pointless... that sounds bad. I don't mean it that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just a sandbox you do whatever.
Yeah.
There is progression, and it may be that you're learning about the slimes so you can...
Yeah.
What's the point of having the slimes, though? Is there...
Oh, yeah. So you, once they eat something...
Because they're obviously enemies. They can hurt you out in the wild.
Some of them will hurt you, yes. Actually, a decent amount of them won't actually hurt you. The pink slimes, tabby slimes don't really hurt you. But...
No, the intro slimes. I get that. They're trying to teach you the mechanics.
Well, yes. But actually, rock slimes will, like, curl into a ball and charge at you, so they hurt you.
Nice.
There's, like, I think they're called, like, acid slimes or something. And they just have this big aura of radiation. I think they're rad
poison?
Slimes. Well, yeah. Yeah. So you stand next to it and you get poison.
And so then collecting those slimes, you take them back to your ranch.
Yeah, you feed them and then they produce these things called, like, plorts, I think they're called. They're like these little diamond, basically, things.
Okay.
That you sell. You just, like, you sell them and they each got different prices. That actually change. The prices change.
So there's an e-commerce. There's a commerce kind of system in the game.
Yeah.
What is the point of having money, then?
To buy upgrades. And you can upgrade your...
You
can make it
slime faster. You can ranch faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also...
So it's a farm simulator. It's just
it's
you're
a farming,
farming
simulator,
farming,
except it's slimes.
You're farming slimes. It sounds like fun. It does sound like a bit of a grind, so it may not be my type of game, but I think it'd be fun having a bit of a slime slinging time with it for a short time.
I just wish it was multiplayer. It should be multiplayer.
It does seem like a game that could work well in multiplayer.
Yeah. But sadly, it doesn't.
Yeah, but it's one of the games on Game Catalog. So if you've got a Game Catalog, you can play it for free. First, you have to get a PlayStation, which I recommend because of the fun.
Yeah.
What have I been playing?
You've been playing a total of 2 games.
Well, it's probably true.
Yes, it is.
Since we last talked, we talked a lot about Final Fantasy VII on the last few podcasts. I've got re-obsessed, and I went back and I righted a wrong of 25 years ago. I actually don't know how long it took to get to the end. 25 years ago is when Final Fantasy VII came out. We got it, I believe, reasonably early on. I don't think we waited too long until... I think it was a recent release at the time when we bought it.
We bought it as in, like, us? We
no,
bought
no, no,
the...
like, the 25 years ago, the original. Yeah, okay. Or we rented it first.
Blockbuster?
And... Nah, not Blockbuster.
No, not Blockbuster?
There were
many
Blockbusters in Wellington.
Okay.
Video Easy, probably. Which does not in business anymore. Anyway, so I played the game. We bought it. When we rented, I basically just watched my brother. Then we bought it. I played it. Bought my own memory card. Copied my saves over. Got right to the last final dungeon. I probably told this story before.
Probably.
And then, I don't know if it was like literally I got there and then I was going to go out to go see a friend to his friend's place. Or if I just happened to stop playing and then the next day or two I went to a friend's place. I'm not sure about that how tight this timing is. But soon after saving it at the last final dungeon, it's a point where you're in a dungeon. There's no actual save point, but at the start of the dungeon, it's the only time in the game they give you a save crystal where you can actually plant a save point anywhere in the dungeon you like. But there's a point where it says you should save here.
Yeah.
So, well, sort of. So I would have saved it right then. So literally it would have been a couple of fights and then the final boss. I had gone through and got all the final weapons, like the ultimate weapons for everybody.
Did you get all the summons?
I probably would have got all the summons.
So you got me and the Knights of the Round Table?
Yes, I got Knights of the Round Table. I even worked out how to breed a gold chocobo, like, by myself, by just talking, because like, within the game, there is people you can talk to who will give you tips.
Yeah.
But it takes a while to get that information out of them. And I did the gold chocobo and found the Knights of the Round Table summon, which is a hidden and it's out of the way area that you have no need to go anywhere near by just exploring. I found the final limits for, I'm pretty sure, everybody. So I'd done a lot in the game.
Did you remember?
I think I was even level 99, to be honest.
Did you remember how to breed a gold chocobo, or did you have to look it up? I can't remember.
This time, I knew the gist of it, but just to make my life easier, this time I just looked it up. Because anyway, you're getting ahead of myself. I'm telling the story.
Yeah.
So I was at this last point of the game, went over to a friend's house soon after saving, literally walked into my friend's room, and he had just walked into the final boss of the game. Because we had the game at the same time, he was playing through it, and I literally watched him kill the final boss and then the cutscene.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I've seen the end of the game now. So I didn't rush to go finish it myself. So I'd seen the end of the game. Then maybe a week later, maybe 2 weeks, no idea the time frame. It's 25 years ago. I went, sat down to play it. Memory card corrupted.
At least you got to see the end.
So I'd never have finished Final Fantasy VII, the original, by myself. And all this time, I've restarted. I've probably done Midgar 5 or 6 times. I probably got up to Condor. And that's the part I always seem to, not burn out, but kind of move on to something else. I get to Condor. I've got to Condor maybe 3 or 4 times. I fought Condor, sorry. And yeah, so I don't know why at that point. I think it's because I feel like I want to do all those that side quests, the side missions with the army coming up the mountain. You know, that little mini game?
Yes.
And they turned it into a mini game in the expansion for the remake, Fort Condor. It's that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot simplified in some ways for the remake, but it's still cool. Anyway, I feel like I had to do those fights, and they take quite a while. And so I think that's maybe why I burnt out and just didn't get up getting past there. But this time, I smashed through. The speeding up helps a lot with the PS4 version of it.
That's why you did it so quickly, is because you're going, yeah, you were Sonic the Hedgehog,
yeah,
not Cloud.
Yeah, you can go 3x speed. And I wasn't too fussed about like technically doing it all myself. Because I've done all the collecting, I've done all the stuff, I've done all the grinding. So I wasn't interested in grinding. I wanted to experience the story and relive the story. That's my focus this time.
But you still got everything.
Did most of the bosses without using the limit add-on that you can do within the PS4 version. Just because I like the challenge of that. But had a lot of fun. The story is still really good. It moves at a lot quicker pace when you know where to go, and I'm surprised how much I remember about the game since it's been 25 years since I played right through.
Yeah.
And got a gold chocobo to stamina 999.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Huh. I didn't get the speed. That gold chocobo is when I bred 2 gold chocobos. And I got the 999 stamina, but the speed wasn't great. I could still beat everybody. The speed was only 153.
Got to keep breeding it.
Yeah.
Till it gets to 5,000 k's an hour.
No, I think the cap is 199 for speed, I believe. But I may be wrong. I don't actually remember. But it was super, super fun reliving Final Fantasy VII again. It's quirky, it's weird. I think there is some, I never noticed it, but I have heard that there's some translation issues with the westernization of it. But there is some probably terminology used that I find weird. They talk about Cloud being cloned and he thinks he's a clone. Whereas I don't think that was the intent of what they actually meant in Japanese. But I guess the same thing, if he thinks he's a clone, it is traumatic. I guess this might be spoilers. It's an old game. I'm not too worried. The remake is retelling the story in a different way, so it's sort of different. So anyway, great game, a classic, and I am loving the remake, and I'm looking forward to the games coming out. So we've got Ever Crisis coming out, which is a retelling of the side stories around the Final Fantasy VII world, and then we've got Crisis Core remake coming out. Well, they said in winter 22, but people, it's all listed as a pre-order for 23, like March 23, which I find weird. And that's Northern Hemisphere winter. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing the next chapter of the remake. And we've also decided since recording last that we're going to do this year's family cosplay is going to be Final Fantasy VII remake characters.
I'm going to be Cloud because you got a beard.
I got a beard. I'm not babyface pretty boy like Cloud.
Yeah.
But you are. yeah, it's a great game.
Next 4 months, I grow a beard.
We can shave your beard. I guess I could shave.
Yeah.
We might change it. Might make me Cloud.
Mm.
Now, Odin's real excited by it. He's walking around the house with the Buster Sword I made.
Because I have to, because I'm not strong enough to wield it one-handed.
I'm going to inject you with some Marco energy, aka steroids. Yes.
Yes, sounds great.
What else have you been playing?
Like a 2D pixel game called Kingdom
Shoot Down. Yeah, you've told me a bit about it. We haven't sat down.
It's a really basic kingdom building game.
I've been too manic with starting on making costumes, even though we've got 4 months. I've been starting and getting myself all worked up.
Yeah, we should play because it's multiplayer.
Yeah, we should. Maybe we'll do it tonight.
But yeah. So it's a. Well, actually, there are a couple games, but this one's multiplayer. I downloaded another one which wasn't, but I played this one. But it's a very simple kingdom building game. It's 2D kind of pixel graphics. You ride around on a horse. And you basically just chuck gold at the things you want to build and upgrade. So you have this like sack of gold. Which actually, if it gets full, then it drops out, and sometimes it will drop into the water.
So you want to spend your money when you got it?
Yes. You don't want to get too much. But you start out and there's like this ghost king or something. It's like a floating dude with a crown. And he's like, come this way. I'm like, okay. So you follow him and he takes you to like a campsite and you chuck gold at it. Like, whoop yeah. And then turns into like a little tent or something. And two little kind of like shops. Set up, there's a building, like a hammer one, and a bow place. Basically, you can buy a bow or a hammer. And then, there's like a beggar's camp, and you can go chuck money at them, and they'll come and be citizens, and they'll take a tool and do that. The Pure Pure boys, the dudes with the bows. During the day, they'll go out hunting rabbits. Or deers, sometimes.
Elmer Fudd. Hunting rabbits.
Rabbit season. And then during night, these weird little gremlin, like, I don't even know, they're like black shadows, like little shadow things with like purple eyes, I think. And they come up and they slap your walls, if you have walls.
Slapping walls.
Yeah, whoopsha.
We'll call them the wall slappers.
Yeah.
They're trying to obviously break the walls and get into your
yes,
encampment.
And I think, I've never had it happen, but I think they're trying to break down your encampment. But if you drop gold for them, they'll be like, I'm happy with gold, and they'll run away with the gold. So you can pay, I think.
This is like just...
It's so random.
It's like the dude just like, make it rain!
Pretty much. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So it's a game about having problems, but solving them with just throwing money at it.
Yes!
Okay, sounds like life.
Well, yeah. So if you've got, like, too many little weird gremlin things attacking you, you can just chuck a couple coins down. Be gone.
I'm assuming that you'll run out of money if you're too reckless with it.
You can run out of money pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
But
okay. It sounds interesting. So it's kind of a little bit like Terraria, but you don't destroy and build as such. You just kind of... Can you fight yourself?
Can you fight yourself?
Like, no. Can you, the character, fight?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
no, you don't
sense.
Fight yourself.
No, you
English
cannot.
Is funny, and I speak it badly.
Yes. No, you can't fight yourself.
So you're getting citizens to be either, like, hunters or builders.
Yes. I think the only way to make money. Oh, so there'll be like a traveling merchant boy, and he comes with his donkey, and he's like, "Take money, give me one coin. I go back out and give you more money tomorrow." Basically.
Oh, so you send him, you give him vest, and he earns money for you.
Although, if you expand too far out, you'll find his camp, and if you put a wall over it, it disappears, and he stops coming.
Oh, weird.
So
is this like a roguelike game? So every time you start a game.
You do have the same set to an extent, because you'll find a broken down boat, which you can chuck a lot of money at it and it'll repair. Or your dudes with hammers will come slap it with hammers and it'll repair it. And you can set out to sea to another island, which will have.
Okay, so there is progression.
Yes.
But do you, when you leave, you come back, you can continue the same progression, or do you have to start again?
I believe you can go back to the same island, and you could just probably grab some money from your boys.
No, I mean, when you leave, like, the game, like, turn it off.
Yeah, turn it back on.
It's the same world.
Same save.
The same... Okay, so you are progressing.
But the different... There are... Like, random... I don't know if they're entirely random. Basically, just... structures or things that you can find over the places. I think they're not
so it's
fully random.
Kind of like the Slime Rancher. It's an exploration game.
Yes.
I ask these questions because, you know me, I like story and adventure.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like just exploring for exploring's sake.
I like a
point to my exploring, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
This has no story, as you say.
No, it doesn't have any story. But yeah, there are a couple things.
Going
and some
there
of,
and back to see how far it is.
Pretty much. But the first place, you can only upgrade a few times, and it'll be like, you need some stone. Like, how do I get stone? So the next island, you basically just restart on the next island, but you'll find a little monument thing. You pay it. It's like another type of thing. It's like a gem. You can find gems.
Okay, so there are different currencies and resources.
There's just gold and gems, which... serve only few purposes, which is just feeding these like monument kind of things to give you special benefits.
Okay.
Which give it like one gem or something. Or maybe the stone one doesn't even need gems, it just needs gold. And then basically you can upgrade it to like two more tiers above it. And now there's bricks, which I haven't unlocked bricks yet.
Okay, so there's a lot of progression in the gameplay.
Yes, you can get quite high.
Okay. Cool. I wonder what else have I been playing? Stray. We mentioned it earlier, released on Game Pass, game catalog. It is a game about a stray cat in a post-apocalyptic world who falls down into a sewer of what I believe is a bunker city from maybe a radioactive fallout.
This is the post-era of Final Fantasy. Because it looks like the plate. You can see like a wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
and it's the plate.
You start off on the... So the start of the game, it feels like we're above... I believe you're above ground as a cat. So I believe there is sunlight.
Yeah, yeah, you see sunlight.
And then you fall and you end up in these sewers and you get through into these slums. And it's like a underground city suburb that is referred to as the slums. And it's below Midtown and below, I believe, like the outside. Or uptown, and so you're trying.
And the whole
to...
place is called Midgar.
It's Midgar, and there are no humans left. There are only robots, and it is a very cute, fun game. I really like it, except for the trophy that makes you sleep for an hour in real time. That was a bit painful. But other than that, like, it's really cool the way the cat moves and explores. We've got a video that's going up on our YouTube channel. If you want to have a check it out, please watch our video. and we kind of give our first impressions of it. But the way the cat moves is really cool. The cat mannerisms are very cat-like. If you've spent any time with a cat, it will feel familiar. And
you can knock paint cans off.
Yeah. The way that you interact with the world is very cat-like. The way it jumps up and down off objects.
Sadly.
That you can jump on stacks of books, and as you jump off, the stack falls over. And so the physics, the world is gorgeous. It looks really well done. And the robots are a lot of fun. Like, I found a robot sitting the other day reading a book about how to become a ninja, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever. Yeah, it's a wonderful game. It's very short-lived. I'm nearing the end, and I've only done 5 hours, and that's including an hour, or at least an hour, sleeping, doing the trophy. And also, I'm thoroughly exploring. Like, I'm looking at every nook and cranny. There's not a huge amount to find, but what you do find is fun. There are things that you find that you need, that you can for objectives within the game and side quests. But there's also, like the ninja book, there's lots of Easter eggs or like nice little world building elements that you can find. Like one of the things my daughter noticed, she's like, "What's happening on the 11th of October?" She just said to me randomly. I'm like, "I don't know. That's like 3 months away. I don't know what you're talking about." And she's like, no, in the game. And she had noticed that every calendar that I'd passed was left on the 11th of October.
Do you think that's when they decided to start making the game or something?
I don't know. I think it might be saying in-game world. It might be when all the humans died and the robots survived. And the robots like, "I don't care about time. I'm not going to I'm not gonna change the calendar."
It's when everyone in Midgard died.
Or
there were
it literally could be the day that we're experiencing right then. Like, I actually don't know yet, but I think there is some lore in there. The other interesting thing is that there is no all the clocks have 16 hours.
Oh yeah.
Which is interesting. Because when you're in a city that has no natural light, like no sun cycle or anything like that, like
what is time?
Exactly. Like the day cycle can be whatever you want it to be.
There could be 500 hours in a day.
That seems pointless, but yeah, because you'd get pretty tired. But it is interesting. There's some fun quirks to it. There's some fun character writing and some developments that I found very interesting. But Stray is a wonderful little game, and I'm looking forward to trying to get a few more of the trophies. There is one to speedrun it in under 2 hours. So again, it is a very short game. I think I could be done with the next half an hour to an hour.
Mm.
And that's me thoroughly exploring everything I can.
Yeah. Sadly, the jumping is prompt. You can't just jump
can't
up and down.
You can't be on boing, boing, boing. And I think I actually like that. I like that. I think
Have you found tinfoil?
No.
You haven't found a cucumber?
No.
You've found a bag, though. A paper bag.
Yes, and I got stuck in the paper bag.
And a bunch of boxes.
Yes, there's little things like that. You can find boxes and you can hop in them, and it's like, I fits, I sits.
Yeah. You found a jar. You can sit in a jar. I fits, I sits.
But yeah, Stray is really, it's a really good game. I really like it. And there is apparently a huge Twitter feed of people sharing videos of their cats, the real cats, sitting and watching
the
game
cat.
Being played.
It's kind of funny.
I actually saw a video of the cat not liking the load symbol on Netflix or on YouTube. Oh, it's probably YouTube actually. Someone was watching YouTube on the TV and it was like buffering, and it was like this you know, the circle that goes around.
Yeah.
And the cat jumped up and was like whack 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 whack, whacking the TV.
Yeah. It doesn't like loading.
No.
Neither
no loading.
Do I.
Instant entertainment.
Slap. Maybe that's what I should do next time. I should just slap it. Maybe it will work.
That's a classic IT fix. Turn it on or off again, or whack it. It's the two fixes. Have you played anything else new? I've been trying to encourage you to play Final Fantasy VII Remake again. Have you got any thoughts on it?
Yeah. It's good. Although.
Look at his negativity, making his dad cry. Go, continue.
So I've gotten to the place.
What harsh things are you going to say?
The world market or something?
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure, I feel like this is actually where I got up to prior, although I could be wrong. I could have just been, I watched you get up there, but I feel like I got there.
I did that Eric chapter several times to get the trophies.
So it might have been me watching you, but I feel like I did it.
You got reasonably far.
But yeah, so I feel like it was actually me that did it. But my other save was like chapter 3 or something, which is only just getting to the slums. So I feel like my save like corrupted or something, or
no, I
maybe
think it's
just like
that you watched me do it enough that you thought you'd done it.
Yeah,
because the save
sure.
It does. It makes no sense that your save would be at chapter 3. Like saves don't corrupt and go back in time; they just corrupt in the dead.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm positive I thought it was me that got there.
But yeah, you're a good chunk of the way through. It gets quite action-y after this point.
Yeah.
That's the thing with that. One of the things I like about it, the pacing's interesting in the game. It goes from being quite action-y right at the start, slows down a bit, action picks back up, then it slows back down to the time with Aerith, and then it picks back up, and then it kind of has like a ramp up to the end of the game of action, action, action.
Ramp up, Cloud's running with the Buster Sword and he's going to jump down on Sephiroth. Sephiroth!
Sephiroth! I love how that's in like the original, how it's like all like simple music.
In the past.
And then the
week.
Final song, the final battle song, it's just like, Sephiroth!
Yeah. In the past week, he'd just randomly go, Sephiroth! In the high voice for absolutely no reason.
It's so cool.
And then I'd go, Sephiroth.
But it's only high. Yeah, great game. Anything else new? We've bought Stardew Valley, the board game, but haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Yeah.
But so we can't report back yet. We haven't had time to play any other board games, I don't believe.
Actually, Stardew Valley's good. I don't need to play it to know that it's good.
No, the game looks, we've unboxed it, we've had a look through the bits, there's lots of tokens.
It looks
it
good.
Seems interesting. And it's a cooperative game, so it could be a bit of a laugh.
You can stop playing Stardew Valley after you play it?
No.
You got nothing else to play?
I mean, I got straight to finish and platinum.
What'd you do that?
No, that's the thing. Well, that's one of the things I want to talk about today, is that we're in a bit of a lull. It doesn't seem like there's many games. I think it's the American summer. They kind of don't release games because all the nerds are out. Well, they're trying to encourage nerds to go outside. So the
as if.
Games that I'm interested in aren't coming back out until like starting like October to the end of the year.
I turn to dust if I go outside.
Yes. So I was actually wanting to mention, yeah, there's not much that I'm super interested in release. Like the next big one was something in September. What was it? I had it up on my phone. So I think it's time to go back. Oh, Lord of the Rings Gollum game comes out in September.
Get to eat a bunch of fishies.
Oh, and Tunic comes to PlayStation in September. That's a game I want to play. It's like a Zelda-like game.
Do you have a wishlist on Steam?
Yeah, it is on there. Yep, I think it's already out on Steam.
Yeah, and you wishlisted it. Wishlisted it.
So maybe I'll check how much it's on there and see if it works on Mac. So, but yeah, but other than that, there's a few games like Roller Drome coming out.
Well, even if Tunic doesn't
work
on...
I could read out a bunch of names, but they're just kind of like, yeah. Like I'm interested in... So I think it's time to go back and maybe play Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy Origins? Paradise? That retelling of the original Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
We played the demo, the guy with the white hair. And they've got an expansion coming, which looks pretty cool.
Yeah. But even if Tunic didn't work on Mac, we've got the Windows boot camp.
I'm not spending 20 minutes loading up Windows every time I want to play a game. That's why I have console. And that's why I play on console. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up. We'll keep it a short and sweet this time. I've got more 3D printing to do.
Hold on a minute.
What?
It's just a question.
Oh, questions before we wrap out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. You tell me questions, and I'll tell people what costumes we're working on, then we'll say bye.
Okay. Coffee Stain Studios are most famous for creating which 2014 simulator game? We've probably repeated, like, a lot of questions by now, because they're all just in a jumble now.
Yeah, you don't keep order of them.
Yeah.
Coffee Stain?
Coffee Stain Studios.
And it's a simulator game?
Yes.
Is it one I played?
We've had it. I don't know if you've played it. I think you might have played it for a bit.
We've had it.
We have owned it. Yes, we owned it.
What simulator? the job simulator. That's the only one I know that we've had.
Goat Simulator.
Oh.
Job Simulator was like 2017.
Now, they've got Goat Simulator 3 coming out. There haven't actually been a Goat Simulator 2, has there? I think that's the joke. I think that they're releasing part 3 without ever releasing a part 2.
I don't think there is a job. Goat Simulator 2.
Simulator.
There's Goat Simulator. It's on Apple Arcade or something.
Yeah, so I googled it, and the first thing that comes up is PS4 Goat Simulator, the bundle.
Yeah, there's actually
and
a lot
the
of DLC.
The next one is Goat Simulator 3.
Yeah.
Pre-udder edition.
What? But there are quite a few DLCs that would have been interesting. There was like a space one. An
yeah,
MMO
we had a bunch
one.
Of the DLCs, didn't we? We had a few of the...
No, we didn't have any of DLCs.
Anyway, I forgot who made that game.
Coffee Stain.
And it's not really it's not really a simulator game. It's like the weakest simulator ever. You're literally just...
You're a goat.
But goats don't do that.
They don't stick... What? You mean they don't stick their tongue to thing to bacon and take it over to a little stand where a UFO comes in and takes them into space? Like, I don't summon whales from the sky?
I find this funny that it has a 9 out of 10.
That's the best game ever.
And 4 out of 5 on Google Play. But 4.5 out of 5. But the fact is, it's actually a terrible game.
It's a great game.
Because it plays... Oh, it's funny, and it's a lot of fun. But like, if you actually looked at it, that's what I find funny about ratings. And it's mechanically terrible.
But that's the...
Visually, it's very mediocre at best. So I can't see there is a Goat Simulator 2. So I think the whole point...
I just skipped it. I think we've gone very off topic.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
Yes.
It's part of the fun. Is there a Goat Simulator 2? No.
No.
There was, this is Google Ask Answers. There were definitely never a Goat Simulator 2. Goat Simulator was first released for Windows back in 2014 and was ported to various consoles and devices over the next several years. So yeah, it's them making a joke.
Makes sense.
Does it?
So you failed the first one because it's terrible at knowing what simulators we've owned. Which is only like 3. Job Simulator, Farming Simulator, and Goat Simulator. The best simulator ever.
Yeah, it probably is.
What is the name of Spyro the Dragon's dragonfly companion?
Oh. This is information that I do not need to keep in my brain. I've got a pop vinyl of them up just right up there.
Wait.
I'm going to go buzz
it. He's not in the box anymore.
Yeah.
That's why you keep things in boxes like the rest of your pop vinyls.
It's ones I don't really care too much about. Come out of the box to save space. Oh, flipping heck. I can't keep that information in my brain.
Should.
No.
You should keep the exact pretty people who made the best simulator ever. Goat Simulator. The most accurate of all simulators.
No, I don't know.
Sparks.
There you go, folks. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Should we do two more? See if you can get
50-50.
Which 2018 pirate-themed game was developed by Rare?
Oh, I hate that game.
I enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed it.
I can't think of the name. It's completely gone out of my head. Pirate Simulator. Oh. Yeah, Rare made it. Oh, come on. Everyone's yelling at the other guy. It's this! I played
it's
it a
sea
bunch.
Sea of Thieves!
Yeah, Sea of Thieves. I did know it.
No, you didn't.
You didn't
you
say that.
You knew it, but you didn't.
Yeah, Stump. I don't know why I couldn't think of that name. I just wasn't coming.
I'll give it to you. Because I know you know it.
I do know it. No, I didn't know it this time.
But,
yeah, I got sick of people saying, oh, it's fun with friends. It's like, anything's fun with friends. You can throw paper, like, balls into a rubbish bin and have fun with friends. Like, it's not... That's not the yardstick we measure games with. It is much better now, I believe. Like, they've actually added gameplay. When it first came out, it was dead in the water. It was literally all you had to do was bail water and hit nails into wood. Like, it was so mediocre.
There is a story. Although it resets when you quit for some reason. I think it... Although they might have changed that. I know when we played, it was like, oh, there's a story.
Yeah, they started adding stuff, but...
they started adding a story. We did it, but it reset after you quit.
Yeah, it was so hard to find. You had to go find like all the secrets and.
But I think they might have. I hope they've changed it.
I hated that game.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it. Just the idea of being a pirate. It was kinda...
I love being a pirate, but like they made pirates crap. Anyway, off topic.
Okay. One more. Where is it? The Russian folk tune Korobeiniki is commonly referred to as the theme of which classic 1984 video game, thanks to its use in the later Game Boy port.
What? Who's gonna even know that?
It's a 1984 video game, basically, on the Game Boy. It's actually a quite popular one.
What?
When it comes to 1984 and Russian.
You don't even know what you're talking about. Do you know what the game is?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the game?
Yeah.
Because Game Boy came out way after this. Actually, when did Game Boy come out?
Thanks to its use in the later game. So yeah, it was so later.
It was used, yeah, yeah.
But it was like a Russian game in 1984.
Well, not a Russian game, Russian song.
The Russian folk. Well, yeah, it was
89.
The Russian...
Heck, I forget how early the Game Boy came out.
I suppose it was the Russian tune, but I assume it was. What game?
I don't even know what games were on the Game Boy. Pokemon.
Tetris.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's got a Russian theme in it.
I have to hand in my gamer card.
Yes.
I don't know games at all.
Don't know Tetris. Don't know Sea of Thieves. Don't know Goat Simulator, the best game ever.
Yeah. So I'm going to head off and moving on from Oda mocking me. I'm going to head off and go work on some more costumes. I've currently made the shoulder pauldron for Cloud's costume. Well, I haven't made it all. I've made the shape and I need a... bedazzle it with the bolts.
With diamonds.
and to get to do the paint job. I made the Buster Sword actually.
Ages ago.
2 years ago during the first world lockdown.
First World War.
When the first remake came out.
It's the First World War. You made it then.
And then I've been working on the 4-point shuriken for Yuffie's costume, my daughter Odin's sister's going to be wearing that.
And then you're going to be Biggs, even though Biggs isn't big. Instead, Wedge is Biggs, but like...
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Odin's mum's going to be Jessie. They're having lots of fun with it, so I'm going to keep busy. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you for listening. Odin, send us off.
Well, if you enjoyed this... episode of us talking you having to hand in your video game pass because you don't even know games. You don't even know Tetris.
No, I don't.
We
have a slogan, remember? This has been the Undying Chat, where the chat never dies.
Yeah. It's been too long. Forgot about it. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.